Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we look back on 2020 and forward to 2021 with the Minnesota National Guard and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey, is the senior leader of the Minnesota National Guard. The Adjutant General is the administrative head of the state's Department of Military Affairs, and General Mankey assumed duties as Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard in August 2020. And General Mankey, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, Tom. It's great to be here. Look forward to another session with you today.
Looking forward to it as well, sir. Kind of an annual tradition to check in and see how we did last year and what you think we're going to do next year. It's not going to be very hard to have a more positive year than the COVID 2020 that has had a big impact on everybody in Minnesota, across the country and the world, and, of course, your Minnesota National Guard soldiers and airmen.
Yeah, I think if you had asked General Jensen if he predicted what 2020 would entail when you did this show last year, I don't think he got a very good grade on what he predicted, Tom.
I don't think anybody could have predicted that one, sir, but I understand that the Minnesota National Guard has conducted a record number of missions in 2020.
Extremely busy this year, and in 2020 we did about three times the amount of normal missions that we do compared to a typical year of state active duty. We had over 100 missions that we did this last year in support of civil operations, Tom. Most of them were in support of the civil unrest that took place throughout this year, but also especially as the year weighed on and into the fall, we've been extremely busy in the COVID-19 fight. As well as our standard flood mission response up in Oslo in the Red River Valley, that always seems to be there. But we're always ready and we're always there for our citizens in the great state of Minnesota, as well as our 148th Fighter Wing was busy with some EOD support for the civil authorities as well.
General, I understand One of your state call-ups this year was kind of a first time the entire organization has been activated since World War II.
Yeah, you know, when we were called up in surrounding the death of George Floyd, we brought in everybody and we provided support to the Minneapolis Police Department, the Minnesota State Patrol, and the citizens of Minnesota to protect critical infrastructure and provide security for our citizens in the state.
So, General, over 100 missions, and with those activations for state service that are have happened more often than usual this year, I imagine that means it's just like training. You get better at it and better at it as every time you get called up.
You know, we have learned a lot of things since the May-June timeframe in regards to civil unrest and some of the efficiencies that we can do. And, you know, in the later deployments, we have staged equipment that we need and put systems in place so that we can more rapidly bring our soldiers and airmen in and to support the needs of the citizens of Minnesota.
And, General, in addition to the state call-ups for active duty, how important has the role of the National Guard been nationally over the last year?
I would say nationally we have been probably more instrumental than ever. We have not only done what we've done nationally as in response to COVID-19 and civil unrest, it's really been the year of the Guard in that aspect. But then when you look nationally at the California wildfires, the tremendous hurricane season that was in the Gulf of Mexico, as well as what we do federally for our nation abroad as a strategic reserve for the Army and the Air Force, we're integrated in the National Defense Strategy, and we've been a vital part of that for 2020.
And, sir, I understand that you've got a lot of soldiers out deployed right now, and, of course, on the air side, they come and go on a regular basis as well.
Yes, we do. Right now we got about 1,000 service members that are deployed or scheduled to deploy. And right now we have soldiers over there from our two of the 135. They're in the Horn of Africa, as well as our cyber protection team, which is out in the capital region right now. And then we have 150 soldiers from the 34th Military Police Company, which are in Guantanamo Bay. We remain busy.
And General, when we take a look at 2021, there's some additional upcoming national deployments as well.
Absolutely, Tom. 2021 will be busy as well. We got, you know, over 1,000 soldiers from our 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team, 34th Infantry Division, which are scheduled to deploy to Kuwait this year, as well as 70 soldiers from our Bravo 101 General Support Aviation Battalion. That's our Chinooks out of the St. Cloud area that will go to Iraq this spring. And then we've got 150 soldiers in the 434th Chemical Company that are going to deploy this summer to Kuwait. And then we've got some smaller deployments. The 107th Support Maintenance Company is going to go to Poland, of all places, to help with our national global mission.
We're speaking with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey, on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, with all of those people out deployed and more people planning on being deployed, it's a good thing we got the 34th ECAB back home recently.
Yeah, they had a very successful deployment, Tom, as you know, and they were in the RSENT region with soldiers in Kuwait, Iraq, Syria, and did a great job over there before they came home. We were happy to get them back right before the Thanksgiving holiday, right at the end of the month of October. And right now, they're scheduled to go through their first reintegration series right after the first of the year. But they had a tremendously successful deployment, and we're extremely busy. We're extremely proud of those soldiers that deployed in support of the ECAB.
General, I understand that in the Minnesota National Guard, you have three organizational pillars that you work with.
Yeah, that's correct, Tom. And the first one is our people. So we can't do anything without our soldiers and airmen, and we need to invest time and resources in them to make sure that they're trained and ready to conduct both their federal mission as well as their state mission. As I said, they're our greatest strength and our most valuable resource, so we need to continue to do what we can to retain them. So part of that to me is treating them with dignity and respect and instilling that culture within our entire organization. Additionally, within that, we desire to recruit a diverse workforce that's inclusive of all soldiers and airmen, and hopefully a representation of the citizens of the state of Minnesota.
And, sir, your second pillar was modernization. Is that to try to keep up with technology and equipment, sir?
Absolutely. Modernization is one way that we stay relevant in our federal mission. And our federal mission is a strategic reserve for the Army and the Air Force. So as they modernize, it's imperative that the Minnesota National Guard modernizes with them so we stay relevant. And I think it's fair to say that all soldiers and airmen want the latest and greatest equipment and want to be trained on that equipment. So that's a strategy of mine. As the Army modernizes and shifts its focus from readiness to modernization, the Minnesota National Guard is part of that, as well as the Air Guard with the 133rd looking to either modernize their C-130H3s or to hopefully get C-130Js, and then looking at the 148 to keep them relevant for the future Joint Strike Fighter.
And, General, the third pillar is partnerships. And this year, above all others, with as busy as you've been, you've got a lot of partnerships in place and working well.
Absolutely, Tom. So, you know, we partner both in the community locally as well as within the state, and we're committed to continue to do that. So we partner with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, my fellow Commissioner Herkey, as well as the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network in Minnesota, and we value the partnership that we have with them and that they have with us. They provide a tremendous resources to our soldiers and airmen, and we value what they do, and we look forward to continuing that partnership as we move forward.
General, we're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be speaking more with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey, who is the senior leader of the Minnesota National Guard, and the Adjutant General is the administrative head of the state's Department of Military Affairs. And General, when we went to break, we were talking about your three organizational pillars, people, modernization, and partnerships. And we ran out of time when we were talking about partnerships, but you've got a couple of state partnerships with some European countries.
Yeah, you know, we're fortunate to have a state partnership program with Croatia, and this year we're going to celebrate our 25th year of that partnership, Tom, and we're extremely grateful for that. We get a lot from the Croatian military, and the Croatian military, I think, gets a lot from the Minnesota National Guard, both the air and the army, as well as we've transposed that and grown that to a civilian to civilian with some emergency operations training that has happened between Minnesota and Croatia, as well as some cyber training that has happened with some of our civilian universities training with them and working and partnering with them. And then, of course, we have the country's longest-running troop exchange program with the Norwegian Home Guard, and this partnership was started in 1974. Unfortunately, with COVID in 2020, we weren't able to execute the reciprocal troop exchange in 2020, and based on where we're at right now, we're not going to execute it in the scheduled time frame in 2021, but we look forward to getting back to that as the vaccine hopefully takes hold and we're able to get to more of a normalcy here as we move into 2021.
General, I know there's a lot of your troops and, of course, the Norwegian Home Guard that look forward to that exchange every year. 100 soldiers and airmen going each way, and it'd be great if we can get back to normal and put that back together.
Absolutely. And Brigadier General Cruz and I have had some discussions with the Norwegian Home Guard leadership, and I think they're just as anxious as us to get the partnership and the troop exchange back on track. Of course, our safety of our airmen and soldiers is first and foremost, and right now with the pandemic, we just don't think it's the right thing to do.
In general, we've been talking about your three organizational pillars, people, modernization, and partnerships, but the Minnesota National Guard also had to navigate the COVID-19 while trying to maintain and enhance your partnerships for 2020. Imagine that's been a little more difficult than you might have imagined.
Absolutely. And, as we're partnering with these communities, most of the stuff we've had to do is virtually. But we have done as much as we can virtually. Our diversity and inclusion team has celebrated lots of events virtually, and we've been able to connect. And we've been able to maintain relationships with schools, community leaders, sports, and other organizations as best we can in this pandemic, to trying to continue to promote the Guard and put our best foot forward as we move through the pandemic.
And, sir, the Minnesota National Guard is all about training, 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 and just another aspect of training was dealing with COVID, getting people ready to go out to the NTC and getting ready to go on these deployments, and whether they're state or federal. So you've had some new rules, some new training, just to learn how to cope with the pandemic.
Yeah, and it's like I said earlier, Tom, it's about taking care of our soldiers and airmen and being diligent with risk mitigation to make sure we have a ready force. And we continue to support, the Minnesota Department of Health and providing no barrier testing and whatnot. So we have to continue to follow the CDC and the state of Minnesota guidelines to protect ourselves and to protect our soldiers and airmen in the community as we move through this pandemic.
And, Colonel, your troops have got a new piece of equipment they have to maintain. Wear some masks.
Yes. And, Tom, I'm the first to tell you, I don't especially like wearing a mask, but, and I don't think I'm the only Minnesotan that feels that way, but the fact of the matter is it's the right thing to do. It mitigates risk for ourselves and for the community populace that we come into contact with, and we remain committed to the health and welfare of our members, their families, and, of course, the state of Minnesota. So you should see soldiers wearing masks when they're in the situation that would require them to wear a mask.
We're speaking with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey, on Minnesota Military Radio. In general, I know you've got a lot of troops out at the at some of the senior living homes and facilities to fill in when they just ran out of people. And my understanding is they had to go to some specialty training before they, as they volunteered and went out for that duty.
Yeah, and Tom, you may have heard me say this before, but I think when soldiers and airmen joined the Minnesota National Guard, no one raised their hand and said, hey, I want to join the National Guard to go provide care in some of these long-term care facilities. But the fact of the matter is we're out of resources, and that's what we're asked to do, and we're going to do it with professionalism and treat these residents with dignity and respect. So we set up a three-day training course with some online training up at Camp Ripley, and we train these soldiers and airmen on the necessities of providing direct care in some of these long-term care facilities, and then we started engaging them in some of these long-term care facilities to provide critical staffing needs when the workers in these facilities were not able to provide the care because they became infected by COVID.
Sir, it sounds like a great opportunity for your soldiers and airmen to help their friends and neighbors here in the state of Minnesota and get through this pandemic.
Yeah, and I think, you know, not everybody, I think, thought it was going to be the mission that it is, but I think they're finding satisfaction in serving in their community. You know, the good thing about being in the Guard is you can serve in your community, but you also serve nationally for our nation federally.
General, I'm wondering, with the schools, most of the schools doing distance learning because of COVID, how are your recruiters doing?
So, Tom, our recruiting is on track, and it's vitally important to the success of People First, and it kind of drives the modernization and allows us to do everything else by keeping our soldiers, our formations full and our wings full. There are some different techniques going on. Our recruiters have put some kiosks in some of the malls where students frequent for shopping or whatever, and that has been somewhat successful. And again, we've done some things via, you know, more direct calling, what it was like probably when you and I were approached by a recruiter, as well as, you know, some Teams interaction, some Zoom interaction, and some Facebook Live interaction, as well as other means that the recruiters are using. But I'm happy to say that both in the air and on the Army, we're on track to meet our recruiting goals as we jump into 2021.
So, General, is it safe to say you're looking for some new soldiers and airmen to join the organization?
We're always looking for soldiers and airmen to join our organization. And, you know, I would tell you, Tom, that, you know, for a young man or woman who's thinking about joining and serving, the good thing about the Guard is you not only get to serve in your community, but you get to serve federally. And I guarantee you what you get out of the Air Guard or the Army Guard is probably going to be more than what you put into it. You grow tremendously as a person, as an individual, and gain valuable leadership experience as well as skills. And, oh, by the way, we're paying you to do this. And a lot of times there's money for education or technical schools, whatever. But it's and the other thing is you're part of a team. The camaraderie that you may have experienced being on a sports team that, you know, unfortunately lots of our juniors and seniors had to not as much ability to do that in this pandemic, but that's one of the things you pick up when you serve in the Minnesota National Guard, in the Air Guard, or the Army.
And, sir, for 2021, we just got about a minute left. I would guess you're looking for some fewer missions next year and some return to normality.
Yeah, you know, Tom, and we're really optimistic with the vaccine coming that it's going to make a difference. And I think that it's safe to say that most Minnesotans and most people in our nation and the world, for that matter, want to get back to some sense of normalcy. I think we've learned a lot in this pandemic, and, you know, some of our family ties have grown, and, you know, we've learned how to work remotely, work virtually, and learned how to communicate differently than in person. But I think it's safe to say we're all looking forward to having the vaccine be successful and getting back to some normalcy as we move into 2021.
In general, I'd also expect that some of the things we've learned about working virtually and some of those other things just might stick beyond the pandemic.
Well, I think so. And I think we've learned that a lot of things that we do, you know, hopefully we'll be able to do them where we have an audience, but we've learned how to stream stuff over the internet so that if people can't make it, they can still experience it and participate.
General, I want to wish you a great year in 2021, and I want to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, Tom, it's always good to be here, and thank you for what you do for the Minnesota military members and the great citizens of the state of Minnesota.
Thank you, sir. That was Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we are looking back at 2020 and forward to 2021. And in this segment, we're going to join retired Colonel Larry Herkey, who was appointed as the 18th Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs in January 2019. And Commissioner Herkey is charged with assisting Minnesota's 327,000 veterans and their families. And he also represents the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs at hearings before the Minnesota State Legislature and the United States Congress, and maintains close working relationships with the various veteran service organizations through the Commander's Task Force. And Commissioner Herkey, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio, sir.
Tom, it's great to be with you again here on Minnesota Military Radio.
Commissioner, we just finished what I call a lost COVID 2020, a lost year. Everything has been affected by a pandemic. The COVID pandemic, fortunately, we've got a vaccine that we're trying to get out to everybody now, but I'm sure that's presented some issues that you probably nobody ever thought would come up last year. How has the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs responded to that?
It's been quite a year for us. It started out in March timeframe. We really, at that point, had no idea the duration or the amount of effect that this is going to have within the organization. We're able to adjust, and I think for the most part, we're able to remain open for business, which is sort of the moniker I've been trying to keep forward as we look at our different requirements within the agency. And we made a quick and swift transition to distance working for people working at home, teleworking for a majority of people in the non-healthcare areas. And then within the healthcare areas, we took some immediate efforts that really, I think, helped us overall be able to weather the issues as it related to COVID-19. I'm really proud of the staff. The staff is in the homes has taken us very personally, and it's been tough on us. We've had over 1,000 staff that have been affected, either family members or someone that they know that had a COVID issue that they had to be out for at least a period of time. So that's a great amount of our staff that's had some impact on this. We were able to actually, before even the CDC came out, or the Department of Health, we were able to start working on the PPE issues, or the personal protective equipment. We had a pretty good stockpile to begin with. We also started special isolation units for those residents that tested positive, which I think was something that really minimized our spread within our organizations. And we made arrangements for residents to stay in touch with their families. In fact, that's one thing I'm very proud of is the ability to use iPads for iPad visits. We've had window visits and now essential caregiver visits that have really, really helped us to keep families in touch with their veterans and family members during these several months that we've been under COVID-19. I'd like to say today that in the healthcare area, we have less than 1% positive amongst our 645 residents and our 1,400 staff that are in healthcare. So I'm pretty proud of that and what we've done in that area to try to protect our veterans, which are heroes. I say heroes taking care of heroes within those veterans' homes. I'd also like to, in the cemeteries, we've really had a chance there also to help make it a better situation. We have mostly outdoor committal spaces, which are good, but we didn't in Little Falls. We were able to work there to move people outdoors and then limit group sizes, originally to 10 and now up to 50. And we work with those funeral directors to make sure everyone's masked and everyone's socially distanced when they come to the cemeteries. And we're lastly, you and I talked about this, Tom, many times.
We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, I'm sorry I interrupted you, but I think you were going to talk about some financial support that the legislature made available to you.
Yes, Tom, we've talked about it several times, and I know your listeners are important part of this, is that the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs was able to obtain within about 32 days $6.2 million. In state funding that was made available, and originally two different grants and now three grants. One was a disaster relief grant for $1,000. The second one, a special needs grant up to $3,000. And those are things that if you have something like a car payment or maybe a mortgage issue or something like that. And the third one is a new one. It's a distance learning support grant, which again is up to $3,000 for those families that are having additional expenses due to hybrid learning or distance learning. And I guess at this point, we've had over 6,600 veterans apply, and we have about 1.2 million still left. So I encourage veterans, or if you know a veteran that's been financially impacted by COVID-19, to apply for one of our grants, and that can be done through the county veteran service officer.
Very good, sir. I was going to ask you if there was any of those funds left, because we were pushing it hard on the show here to try to help our veterans. But as you said, just go to the county veteran service officers and ask them about the disaster relief grant, special needs grant, or the distance learning grant. Commissioner, I know that one of the things that you've been working on hard along with the governor is veteran suicide. Can you give us an update on how that's going during this pandemic year?
Yes. Each year, Minnesota loses between 100 and about 125 veterans that we know of due to suicide. And it's been an area that Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs has not worked with previously. And the governor asked us to take a focus on that within the agency. We've done that. We actually put up our hands to the federal VA and joined what's called the Governor's Challenges, which is a facilitated program by the federal VA. And what that has done is allowed us to identify a potential method to be able to assist veterans going forward that may be a little bit different than some of the state programs and so forth. So we're asking for a little help and support from the legislature this year to support that, but that's a program that I'm very proud of and just getting off the ground for MDBA.
And Commissioner, that's a program where you're working with a number of other agencies like MACV and some others to make sure that we've got as good a coverage as we can have here in Minnesota.
Now, the Minnesota Department of Health actually has the lead in this area, but we've joined the group, and we're part of not only the governmental agencies that are working on this, but as you said, MACV and some of the other non-governmental agencies. We're working with them also as it relates to suicide awareness and prevention. This is critically important to our veterans within the state of Minnesota, and it's something that we are definitely embracing here at MDBA.
And, sir, you're working with some of those same groups to try to end veterans' homelessness. And I imagine that's been set back a little bit by the pandemic as well.
We've had a challenging year here, Tom. There's been a lot of veterans, especially those that have been doubled up in situations where they're with another veteran. They're, for whatever reason, they've decided it's best to live apart. And so a lot of those veterans that have been on the registry previously have come back to us. And besides that, we've had a whole new group of veterans that are recently unemployed and now homeless. So we're working on those issues. We were down to about 220 veterans back in May. I think this last week we were at about 312, but we've put several hundreds of veterans into safe, secure housing throughout the year. And I think through so far this year, it's actually been about 422 veterans. So we're a little bit behind pace of last year, but we're doing well in that area. And we were able to celebrate a milestone here on Veterans Day where we had the suburban metro area counties actually go to functional zero for veterans homelessness, which is great because that puts us at 6 of the 10 continuums that actually have met this milestone.
Very good, sir. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll speak more with Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting with Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and he's charged with assisting Minnesota's 327,000 veterans and their families. Big job. And he also represents the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs at hearings before the Minnesota State Legislature and the United States Congress, and maintains a close working relationship with the veteran service organizations via the Commander's Task Force. And Commissioner, a little off topic here, but all of those commanders in the Commander's Task Force, they serve as kind of a pseudo board of directors for you, don't they?
They do. They're a great source of one of ideas, but also they're a great source for help and support. So they are very direct, and I never have to ask too much, and they're always willing to help help us out when we need help at the Department of Veterans Affairs.
And we're going to have them on in a couple of months when we talk about Veterans Day on the Hill, as we do every year, and we hope that we can do that in person this year. Commissioner, I saw in 2019, we saw the dedication of the State Veterans Cemetery in Duluth. Are there plans to expand your cemetery operations?
Well, it's a focus at the federal level to have either a federal or state cemetery within about 75 miles of each veteran's home. And we've been working for the last 10 years on a cemetery in southwest Minnesota, and specifically been working with Redwood County. And in October of this year, we're actually notified by the National Cemetery Administration, which is part of the federal VA, that they plan on awarding a grant to us in this fiscal year 2021 to establish a state veteran cemetery in Redwood County. So that's great news. It's about $5.99 million, not quite $6 million, and this is an opportunity for us to take those first steps. The land there has been acquired by the county, and I think we meet most of the requirements except for the design of the actual cemetery itself. So we'll be working on our final requirements, and hopefully we'll get the money in fiscal year 2022. And it's just great that we were able to get this after working so long and hard for this particular cemetery in southwest Minnesota.
And Commissioner, that'll be cemetery number 4, because we already have 3 beautiful cemeteries, one just outside the gate at Camp Ripley, one in Preston, Minnesota, and one in Duluth. And boy, they are well done and well taken care of, and looking forward to seeing the land in Redwood County, sir.
Yes, and Preston was an award winner this year at the federal level. We received high praise amongst one of the 4 state cemeteries that actually received the honor of this great recognition. So I'm very proud of all of our cemeteries.
Sir, a couple of years ago, the state of Minnesota allocated some funding for some 3 new veterans' homes, and I think you're waiting on some additional funding for those. Can you give us an update on when we're going to get some more beds for our veterans, sir?
Well, we're looking at some outcomes on this, Tom, in the January through March timeframe of this year. We had funding provided by the state legislature for new homes in Bemidji, Montevideo, and Preston, and those 3 homes we're still waiting for the federal match for that. The amount that the legislature provided us was $32 million, and that was back in 2018. And again, we've updated all of our items as it relates to the grant for these homes, and we're waiting patiently for the results of the list to come out here again in the January through March timeframe, we'll see if one or more of those homes got picked up for funding.
And Commissioner, I know you spent many years in the Minnesota National Guard taking care of facilities and doing construction projects. I'll bet you're excited at the prospect of building three new veterans' homes on your watch as Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
Well, it was one of the five things, Tom, I told the governor that I would do right off the bat coming in as commissioner. I said I felt I was uniquely qualified to help in this area, and we've been through the whole design process. And then we went through the value engineering process in order to bring them in within budget. And I feel strong that the designs we have are very strong designs, and they'll do well for all three of those communities.
Sir, I hope you get the funding on those soon. It's going to be fun to see how they go up and what they look like. And it'll be a relief, I imagine, to be able to house many more veterans and take care of them when they need us most. We're speaking with the Commissioner. We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Herkey on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, I'm sorry I interrupted you again. Did you have another comment on the...
I was just saying it would be great to be able to have more veterans taken care of in our homes. We have waiting lists at all of our homes right now, and some of them quite long. So it would be great to have additional opportunities for our veterans in Minnesota.
Can't wait, sir. That'll be great news. Commissioner, I can't believe that in 2021, we're here. The United States will mark 20 years since the attacks of 9/11, 2001. Is Minnesota going to be doing something to honor those we lost on that tragic day?
Well, Tom, we are. I took some steps towards this recently by convening a task force for called the 9/11 Global War on Terrorism Remembrance Task Force. We're supposed to The focus of this task force is to honor and remember those Minnesotans who served and their lives and their families' lives were changed that day back in September 11th, 2001. And the focus going forward is to make sure we educate the populace as a whole. We want to remember the 45,000 Minnesota veterans that served during that time frame. And we also want to just celebrate what they've done for our country and in the case of some of the countries we've served in, we've actually helped produce a better life for the citizens of those countries also. So this task force has one member from both the House and the Senate within Minnesota. We have a couple MDVA staff members. We have a member of the Minnesota Military Museum and eight public members, of which we have a great variety and include a Gold Star mother who is serving on there. The task force members will serve for 2 years. And again, one of the big things is a commemorance ceremony, which will happen here on September 11th of next year. So we'll be more on this, I guess, as we go forward. We'll be promoting this and probably get on your show just to talk more about it. But I did want to introduce it and make sure that people knew that it was coming and that we have an ability to learn more if you want to by going to our website at minnesotaveteran.org.
Commissioner, it's hard to believe it was 20 years, but there were a number of Minnesotans and people from all over the country that stood up and raised their hands and joined the military, and some of them are probably just about getting ready to retire. Can you believe it?
Well, and then there's some guys like me that served during that time period and have retired and starting to forget, you know, what they did and what contributions we made. So it's time after 20 years to start writing all this down, write the definitive history, and give recognition for these service members that have served so honorably and so well for our nation over the past 20 years.
Commissioner, we just got about a minute left. How can our listeners learn more about the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs?
Well, there's multiple ways to learn more about MDVA, but probably I think the one I tell most people to go to is their county veteran service officer, usually located normally in your county offices within your county. You can also find them at macvso.org. That's M-A-C, VSO.org, and that'll introduce you to usually a phone number, email, and also a physical location that you can go to see that county veteran service officer. And as usual, you can always go to our website at MinnesotaVeteran.org. Again, one word together, MinnesotaVeteran.org. Or there's also another focus. If you like to use the phone like I do, you just use 1-888-LINK-VET. And that's during normal business hours that call center is open. So again, 1-888-LINK-VET. And you can get in contact directly with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs that way.
Commissioner, I hope you have a fantastic year in 2021, and I'd like to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom, for all your support for our veterans and military members within Minnesota. I appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you, sir. That was Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Joining me now is a senior enlisted leader to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
You bet. Thank you for having me again, Tom, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all your listeners and you.
Yes, sir, and we've got a brand spanking new year, 2021. Should be easy to beat 2020, don't you think, Sergeant Major?
You know, I hope so. got a lot of things that we've got planned in the calendar year 21, and, you know, hopefully we get to execute them. With the vaccine that's been released, or vaccines have been released, you know, hopefully we can get our population vaccinated and move out and be able to do things like our Best Warrior competition and state partnership exchanges with Croatia, and our JOTEC, which is our Junior Officer Enlisted Tag Advisory Council. We look forward to being able to execute all those events and more in person in 21.
Sergeant Major, I hope all your soldiers and airmen are in great shape. 2020 was a busy year. Maybe you can have a fewer missions this year and let them rest up.
Absolutely. We're looking for forward to a few breathers, and hopefully the COVID is over so we kind of work ourselves out of business in that regard.
Sergeant Major, I think you've got somebody on the air side that's doing some podcasts.
Yeah, I hate to tell you, Tom, but you do have some competition out there. Command Chief Mark Legbold at the 133rd Airlift Wing is hosting a Beneath the Wing podcast. So I just wanted to mention that on your show, and hopefully you can get a few listeners there as well. So it's called Beneath the Wing, and I believe you can get it on Apple and other podcast platforms.
Wish him well, sir, and unfortunately we're out of time, but thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Tom. Happy New Year again.
Yes, sir. That was Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we look back at 2020 and forward to 2021 with the Minneapolis VA. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.